And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I don't know if you've ever heard the name of the Greek physician Hippocrates. Every physician takes an oath called the Hippocratic Oath. And Hippocrates is one famous dude. Well, he has a quote that I want to share with you today, and I know you've heard it before. He made a comment that, or he said, "Let thy food be thy medicine, and let thy medicine be thy food." So, starting the year off correctly, we're going to talk about how food actually is medicine. Anything else might actually be a substitute, if I can. I tried to do a little bit of research on celery. And obviously, we both know that celery's been around since the beginning of creation, or since God spoke everything into existence. Well, nonetheless, I found that even 900 BC, or the 9 centuries before Christ, they made mention of celery, and I find that very interesting. So it's something that's been around a long time. It's not necessarily a new plant. But, you know, sometimes you just have to hear how celery is used. And, of course, today I'm going to hit two topics. Taking an individual that suffers with horribly high blood pressure and then lowering it with celery, and then the individual that has just horrible rheumatism or arthritis or pain or even gout like we've talked about in the past. All these are at play. Let me read this to you. Celery contains a phytochemical compound known as coumarins. It's not really important that you remember that, but that's what they're scientifically called, which are actually now being shown to be very useful in cancer prevention, and they're actually capable of enhancing the activity of certain types of white blood cells. I promise you, this is what you want. You want to take a sluggish white blood cell, any means that's natural, I'm referring to help enhance how your white blood cells go after cancer. Oh, that's what you want. Now, this is just maybe a side topic, but these coumarins that come from celery, they have this very unique ability to tone the vascular system, which means instead of having hard, stiff, rigid, stressed, high-pressure arteries, they actually lower blood pressure. And even some of the studies show that the use of these coumarins that come from celery can be very effective if a woman or a man suffers from horrible migraine headaches. All right, here's the part that I like that I found. Two researchers at the University of Chicago Medical Center, they performed studies on a coumarin compound found in celery. It's called 3-N-butylthalamide, or thalalide. They call it 3-NB for short. I think I may call it that also. And they found that it can indeed lower blood pressure. So what do? They did a study on animals. And so in animal studies, a very small amount of 3-NB, remember that's a compound that comes from celery, when the animals consume this daily, very small amounts of it, by the way, it lowered blood pressure by 12 to 14%. Could you imagine if your blood pressure was, say, 160 over 100, and that was lowered by 16%. Well, who wouldn't like the idea of their blood pressure being, you know, 142 over maybe, you know, 82 instead of 160 over 100. But it had this unique ability of lowering total cholesterol by about 7%, not 70, that's 7 as in 5, 6, 7, 8, 7%. So the equivalent dose for humans can be supplied by 4 ribs of celery. That's how this breaks down. So if you remember anything today to lower blood pressure or to help improve blood pressure, I almost sounded like I was making a medical claim, didn't it? Of course I'm not doing that. I'm just revealing the truth of the information. I'll let you decide what you want to do with it. By the way, your health it's yours. You decide what you're going to do with your body. And so the equivalent dose to lower blood pressure can be had with just 4 ribs of celery. And it said the research was prompted by one of the researchers' fathers, who, after eating 4 ribs of celery every day for a week, he didn't do it for 3 months, he didn't do it for a half a year, he did it for 1 week. Now, how hard would that be? You may have your mind set that you want to do something to help your body this year, or to reverse this problem with high blood pressure. Well, one of these researchers' fathers just said, I'll eat 4 ribs of celery for a week and see what happens. And he observed his blood pressure drop from, and these were his numbers. I'm not trying to compare him to you, but it gives you a reference point. But this is really impressive. So one of the researchers' fathers, he ate 4 ribs of celery a day, and his blood pressure at the start, before the celery, was 158 over 96. Okay. Is that a little bit high? Yeah, it is. Are things going to go well for him if his blood pressure stays 158 over 96? No, they're not. So it went from 158 over 96. Guess what his reading was after 4 ribs of celery a week? I mean, a day for a week. It settled at 118 over 82. Oh, my word. Would you say that's a pretty significant shift in the right direction when it comes to lowering blood pressure? And the best part is, there are no drugs with side effects. None. You don't have to agree with me, but I choose to believe through faith that God created celery. Celery just happens to be very, very rich in electrolytes. Have you ever heard of potassium or sodium? Oh, yes. It's one of the greatest electrolyte replacement therapies of all time. Some top athletes, they are so good at trying to juice just a little bit of celery just to replenish their energy. Anyway, they took this celery extract that was standardized to contain 85% of the 3-NB, that's the 3-N-butylphthalolide compound, and they wanted to find out, could this stuff do anything when somebody's got severe arthritis? Or they call it rheumatism. They're just basically talking about somebody that has arthritic muscular aches and pains all over their body. And so in 2 clinical studies, the efficacy of celery seed extract was evaluated by well-established clinical protocols used to measure the effectiveness of conventional drugs used in arthritis and muscular pain. The study participants included patients suffering from osteoarthritis, that's arthritis, or gout. My opinion is, gout is the worst arthritis. If somebody limps in my door with gout, I have great sympathy for them. So in the first study, the subjects had joint pain present. In order to be in the study, you had to have joint pain for 10 years. Okay? Or continual pain for 10 years. That led to a lack of joint mobility. That just means stiffness. And then you can't do normal everyday things like wash the dishes or stand at the sink or hang out the laundry on a clothesline. And don't tell me you don't know what a clothesline is. I know you know what a clothesline is. You hang out your sheets on it every day. Anyway, the subjects were given only 34 milligrams of the celery extract. Just 34 milligrams. Did I mention that celery is natural, not made in a lab? Nonetheless, the results of the study were extremely positive and quite statistically significant. The researchers kind of went out of their way to make this comment. They said the chance at such a positive effect in reducing pain in these subjects was a placebo effect was less than 1 out of 1,000. So that means there's next to no possibility this great result they got from giving celery seed extract to these people with horrible joint pain and muscular aches, they were going to have a benefit. Subjects experienced significant pain relief after 3 weeks of use. That's 3 weeks, not 3 months, with an average reduction in pain scores of 68%. You tell me, if you were in pain all the time, if you had a 68% reduction in pain over 3 weeks, would that be like a pretty significant number? You betcha. And out of all the people listening, everyone would believe you. I would believe you if you said you had less pain. Some of the subjects in the study had complete 100% relief from pain. It says most subjects achieved maximum benefit after 6 weeks of use, although some did notice more improvement the longer the extract was used. Now, I know you understand this, but every human being is different. Everybody has their own strengths. They have their own weaknesses. They have their own unique idiosyncrasies and glitches. And so, you know, some people respond faster than others. But I think this is interesting. They at least include that information in the data, that some people, when they take it longer, they just seem to do better and better. I like that. And here's a second study right here. They took a similar group of patients that had a whole bunch of pain for a long time, and instead of giving them 34 milligrams of the celery seed extract, they gave them 75. Oh, my word. That's huge. I'm just joking. That's teeny tiny. 75 milligrams would be a tiny capsule, if that's all it was, or a tablet. They gave them 75 milligrams of the celery extract twice a day for 3 weeks. Now, at this higher dosage, the subjects reported even better results than the first study where they used 34 milligrams. Statistically and clinically, significant reductions were noted in pain scores, mobility, and quality of life. As in the first study, no side effects were noted other than what they would call a diuretic effect. And by the way, there's plenty of people that would probably benefit greatly if you could just help relieve the extra swelling and the edema and the fluid they have in their body and get it out. When the data on the subjects or on the subset of patients with gout were analyzed, it was clear they had responded extremely well. And remember, gout is a horribly brutal arthritic condition. You could have the toughest person you've ever met in your life. When they have a flare-up of gout, it ain't happening. They're not so tough at that point. Even the mighty go down with gout. So, subsequent evaluation to explain the benefits noted in these patients indicated 3NB, that's just the active compound that comes from celery, it lowers the production of uric acid. Isn't that interesting? Anything that lowers uric acid is going to extend the quality of your life and make sure your joints don't hurt all the time. Anyway, so, I mean, I could keep going on this, but it's just very, very interesting how when they gave celery extract, the uric acid crystals began to dissolve. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, and how are you this morning?
I am excellent, thank you.
Good. Hey, I was listening when you were talking about celery. I thought that to be quite interesting. A mutual friend of ours was over last night, and we were visiting, and she mentioned that you were talking about food-grade hydrogen peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of explain the use of that?
I would say under normal circumstances, when a child is very young and healthy, their cells can manufacture all the hydrogen peroxide they need.
Okay.
And so they can do that with an enzyme called the catalase enzyme. And so you take oxygen, you take a molecule of water, and bam, you've got hydrogen peroxide, which is H2O2.
Okay.
But it's dependent on the activity of an enzyme in our cells called catalase. Now that brings me to the next point, which is probably going to be very hard to follow. I'm just joking about that. As we age...
Now, well, it is morning.
That's right. Maybe nobody's fully awake yet except you and me. But as people age, you know as well as I do, a lot of the systems in the body, they just become weaker and they don't work the way they used to when they were saving... You know, 7 years old or 17 years old. That makes sense.
Right.
And so when you have this weak catalase enzyme, this is where some people radically, radically benefit just by taking just a little teeny tiny amount of food-grade hydrogen peroxide. And you've got to have a little bit of hydrogen peroxide just to produce energy. And I think I've harped on this a number of times. You've got to have energy if you want to live and if you want to heal and be strong. Can I tell you something that's probably going to be crazy?
Sure.
When they first started developing rockets to blast, you know, or I shouldn't say blast, to help, you know, lift, you know, astronauts and cargo into outer space, that's one of the main fuels they use is hydrogen peroxide. I didn't realize that until I studied the topic. And I thought, wow, if they want to have energy to help deliver, you know, a payload to outer space, hydrogen peroxide is one of the fuels. I just think that's interesting.
That is interesting. Well, she said it helps clean out your arteries.
Yeah, and she's right about that. She's referring to that research that was done at Baylor Medical School back in the late 50s throughout the 1960s. And what they would do back in the day is they would take an individual that had a completely... And let me just kind of give you an example of a woman that I read about from those notes from Baylor University. She had a completely clogged what's called vertebral artery, and that one's really hard to get to because that's an artery that supplies blood to the brain itself, but It moves up through the spine, so it's really hard to get to. But what they did was they just injected hydrogen peroxide, and a month later they came back and retested, and the artery was completely free of any gunk or plaque or cholesterol or calcification. One of the most remarkable things of all time. But the problem that we have is, I know this is going to sound negative, me saying this, but hydrogen peroxide, you can't patent the stuff, so it can't be sold as a drug. You could literally, if you wanted to purchase your very own bottle of hydrogen peroxide, you know, 3% over the... It's like 53 cents for a bottle. That's 16 yeah. ounces. I can't even buy a bottle of mineral water for 53 cents if I stop at a convenience store to get a bottle of water.
Yeah, it just sounded so interesting, and she was talking about, you know, how you increase the dosage and then you bring it back down when you get to, you know, a maximum that they talk about. And I was like, wow, that's cool. I wonder.
Well, don't you think it's interesting to just ask a person what their experience is? But I've asked, you know, literally hundreds of people,
and hers is positive, by the way.
Oh, she had that's a shocker. She had a positive feedback? That's one out of 1,000. No, but when you ask a person, if you say, okay, tell me exactly what's happened over the last month of taking a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, and if a person tells me, if they say, you know what, I feel better, and I feel like getting up and doing stuff, whereas before I was sitting in a chair all day long. I mean, to me, that's at the cusp of... you know, healing and rejuvenation. You've got to have energy. And so it's very, very valuable. And so for a person that has just a tremendous amount of pain and inflammation, and they have very, very low reserves of energy, you know as well as I do, you cannot really move the needle toward healing unless you have energy present.
Right, right.
Wouldn't that be horrible if all your relatives decide they would get out of a chair and go do yard work today because they felt so good?
Dang, they could just come here and do that. I'd love it.
By the way, I didn't catch what you were saying earlier, but are you saying you had a woman over your house? Is that what you're saying?
To play cards.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Any other questions?
Yes. What about apple cider vinegar?
Oh,
and the use of
it's been around since the beginning
forever.
Of time. Oh yeah, absolutely. I actually took some vinegar yesterday and I applied it to a woman's skin because she needed a little bit of vinegar over a little patch of ringworm. But to make a long story short, vinegar is extremely beneficial to the human body. And so let's just say that a person, I know this is going to sound crazy, because in modern medical thinking, if a person were to complain that they have a little bit of indigestion or a little bit of heartburn or reflux, or maybe when they eat food they're swollen and bloated and they have a lot of gas and the food just sits in their stomach too long, standard medical thinking might go, aha, they have way too much acid now that they're 55 years of age, let's give them an acid-blocking drug. But the problem is, yeah, you can turn all that off, but if you look at the long-term studies, people tend to have a whole lot more cancer when they take those acid-blocking drugs. Uh-huh. And it tends to just royally deplete them of precious nutrients they need, because without stomach acid, you can't absorb that. So anyway, enter apple cider vinegar. What if the vast majority of all people that had severe heartburn and indigestion, acid reflux, what if the real problem is they don't have enough stomach acid in their stomach, and so the food just sits there and it starts to kind of boil up and rot and ferment and everything else that you don't want to do in the stomach, and so those volatile organic acids just boil up into your throat and burn you. So there's some people, they could just take like a gel cap that's filled with apple cider vinegar if they don't want to taste it, and they could just swallow that before a meal and see if all of a sudden their acid reflux goes away.
Interesting. Now, can that be done in conjunction with the hydrogen peroxide? Or
I think it can.
Okay.
You
can't mix it together.
You can.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes, I guess. You know, can you take it both in the same drink? Or
I think so.
Okay. Because I know we're also talking about lemons and limes with it. I mean, I'm just trying to sort all kinds of
stuff out. And I'm a huge fan of all those things. I mean,
and I know this.
There's a type of tea that has the rind of a tangerine in it that I like. Uh-huh. It just makes me feel good just smelling it.
Right.
It smells so good.
That's and I
am forever wanting to squeeze the juice of a lime into that cup of tea, that tangerine tea, and then I'll put my 3 to 5 drops of hydrogen peroxide in it. And I mean, just listen to me right now. Do I have any serious mental problems? Can you tell? You're hesitating.
I'm thinking.
Never mind. Let's scratch. That's the wrong question to ask. No, but I haven't personally exhibited any side effects I know of, because I'm pretty good about being my own guinea pig. Before I ask anybody to do something, I'll do it myself.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I was just kind of curious.
The nice thing about using the food grade hydrogen peroxide is if you end up using a lot less of it, which I think is very, you know, economical and agreeable to the body. But I don't really taste the hydrogen peroxide when I use just a little bit, like 3 to 5 drops.
Yeah, she said something about starting out with a quarter teaspoon and building up to a teaspoon and then going back down
to
a quarter.
If you were using food grade hydrogen peroxide that's 35%, you just would only use maybe a couple drops.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times when you order them online, the hydrogen peroxide will actually, they'll have a glass brown amber dropper bottle with it.
Oh, okay.
So you just pour the hydrogen peroxide in that, and that way with your dropper, you can count out 1, 2, 3, 4 drops very, very easily.
Oh, okay. Great.
I wish I'd come up with that. That sounds brilliant.
Well, you're amazing anyhow, so, you know, it's okay.
So you don't have to measure out quite so much when you're using the food grade hydrogen peroxide. It can just be just a few drops, and that way you don't have to taste the strong, you know. And it has been shown in all seriousness to be cleaner, more free of contamination. Yes, I have come across some studies that shows that just plain Jane over the counter 3% hydrogen peroxide can have some contamination with heavy metals. And that's not good, but
you
you don't want that, but I have seen that, though.
Yeah, okay. Good to know.
Okay.
Well, I think we've covered pretty much, you know, what I was curious about.
Okay, good. Well, thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you for your phone call. I wish you the very best. I hope this year is your year.
Me too, and I pray so for you as well.
Oh, thanks. I need it, buddy.
Hey,
all right,
you're going to make it. We're all going to make it, bud.
That's the spirit. Thanks a bunch for your encouragement. Have a good day.
Hey, God bless.
God bless you. All right, the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you want to call and ask a question, I'm available. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. Thank you so much for all you do.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so glad to be here for you.
Okay. I'm extremely concerned about my sister, and I wanted to just ask you what could possibly be done. She is a diabetic, I called her last night and got the list of medicines that she does take. She said her A1C was at 10 last year, now it's 8. She takes Cinepril, HCTC, Itrovastatin, some statin thing, Tylenol, and she recently went to the ER at the VA for a pinched nerve in her hip. It's causing severe pain in her back of her knee. She hasn't been able to put it, much weight on it at all. She's 74 years old. and the other problem is both her legs below her knees, they're real red, and she's getting a sore on one of them.
Oh, bless her heart. You know what they used to do back in World War One for that?
Yeah.
They would just take a lemon and cut it in half, and they would rub it all over the red inflamed tissue, like if a soldier had been hit by shrapnel and he couldn't walk. So if they're changing the sheets or the bedpan and they notice his legs are real red, like he's developing ulcers and irritation, they would just rub lemon juice directly on it.
Wow. Okay.
Which technically, diabetes is definitely a vitamin C issue disease, if that's my opinion.
Okay.
So I guess the question is, what do we do, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me give you a little take on this, and I'm going to be a little bit harsh, but it's not against you or your sister.
No, it's fine.
The most potent antioxidant that's made by the human body is called glutathione. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yes, from you.
So, what I should say is the more glutathione you have, usually that's when things are a whole lot better inside of your body. But when you have a deficiency of glutathione, that's when your body just can't seem to rise to the occasion and heal and repair anything.
Okay.
So even if you have like a little wound or a little sore, it just stays there forever. It won't go away. And so Tylenol is the very drug that destroys glutathione. And so I'm not picking on her, but even what I read earlier, those studies on people that had horrible, horrible pain, and they took celery seed extract for 3 weeks, they had a minimum of a 68% reduction in pain. That's pretty huge.
Yes.
And there's some people that had 100%. So maybe you could write down that celery seed extract might be extremely beneficial for a person that's suffering horrible, horrible pain.
Yes. I took down all that information, yes.
Do you know what I started to read this morning? I started to start off with a substance called bitter melon, and the only reason I started to start off with that was I was looking in a seed catalog where they had these bitter melons from Japan or Malaysia being sold, and I thought, there's nobody that's going to want me talking about something that doesn't taste like $1 million, because that didn't. But it was saying specifically, when people consume a little bit of juice from the bitter melon, it greatly improves their diabetes. And so if we can get her hemoglobin A1C from 10 to an 8, well, that's a move in the right direction. So she's done well. Way to go.
Yeah.
But if we can take it and go from an 8 to a 5, then she'll be in the clear. She won't have diabetes. It'll be a done deal. It'll be a far-off, distant memory that we don't have to revisit again.
Yes, something we can praise God for. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always remember that story of King Asa where he was infirmed in his feet toward the end of his reign, but he refused to ask God for help. And I thought, oh, my goodness, don't do that. Let's ask him first. Go to doctor second. Anyway.
Yes.
So what would you say is the main issue that she really would like to see the most improvement? What would encourage her the most?
If she could walk around again. She's using a walker right now, and it's very, very humbling, let's say.
Well, there's one drug that she's taking that's going to completely prevent her from healing. It's the statin drug.
Yes.
And I would
did discuss that.
Well, and I would say legitimately, when you look at the research on this, you know what? I hear a phrase or a statement almost every single week from somebody, and I try really hard not to react to it, but this is kind of how it goes right here. The doctor will call and they'll say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, we have your prescription ready for you for the statin drug. And then the person will say, well, I have read up on that drug, and I feel horrible when I take it, and I don't like the side effects of it. And then the nurse or the doctor will say, could you tell me specifically what do you think it's doing is negative? And I'm thinking, if they have to try that hard, but that's the drug that's been shown to actually cause diabetes. Okay. But the studies now show that if you take that statin medication for an average of 7 years, bam, you got diabetes.
Mm, okay.
And so,
okay.
But the other thing is it makes a person's leg, in a roundabout way, I know I'm not trying to be overly technical because I don't want to like confuse myself this morning, but the net result of taking that particular cholesterol-lowering drug is you will lose all your strength. You'll become extremely weak. Your brain will atrophy. Your muscles will atrophy. And it will. The net result is you're so weak you can just barely move without a walker. Now, okay. I know I'm stating the obvious by saying this, but if you can get a person to a point where they start feeling so good and they start having energy where they get up and move on their own, that's a home run right there.
Yes.
Because you know it's the nature of your sister when she feels really good. She's going to get up and do stuff.
Yes. Yes. When she went to the ER, they just gave her gabapentin, and she
that ain't gonna do
took
anything.
One. Right. She took one pill, and she said she was so dizzy she couldn't take any more.
So the side effects were just too horrific to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Is there anything she can do about the pinched nerve in her hip?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you what I have in mind right here. I'm going to be redundant and just kind of repeat what I told the guy on the phone a while ago.
Because
he probably didn't catch it the first time, and he usually is the type that I have to repeat stuff three or four. I'm joking about that because I know he's listening. But
okay.
the body's main transportation molecule is called citric acid. So okay. when your sister was 7 years old, she probably could easily make all the citric acid she needs. Not a problem. But now that she's in the condition that she's in, she's just probably not able to have enough energy to make enough citric acid. So how do we improve that? Well, maybe we could start squeezing the juice of a fresh lemon or a fresh lime into a cup of herbal tea 3 times a day.
Okay.
And that way we can start infusing your sister's blood with citric acid. And then it can do when it's supposed to. I mean, all energy product. If you and I were to go to school right now and say, I'd like to sign up for advanced biochemistry classes. Almost sounds funny me saying that because, you know, 30 years ago when I took biochemistry, I said, you know what, I'm not going to use this stuff. How wrong. But the very first thing that we had to memorize for a test, it's called the citric acid cycle. It's just the basic biochemical reaction that explains how does your body generate or produce energy. And I know I'm making this sound so easy, but you've got to have citric acid to generate energy. So let's help your sister. If we can squeeze fresh lime or fresh lemon juice, I'm going to recommend you fly to Spain and get some fresh ones.
Okay.
In your free time, I meant. But if you would squeeze that in a cup of water or her glass of water, I don't care if the water is warm or hot or cold or on ice. It's all good. I had one brilliant lady tell me a few weeks back, I love her plan. She says before she goes to bed at night, she takes an ice tray and she squeezes lemon juice in it and she freezes it. And so in the morning, she'll just take a lemon ice cube out and put it in her water. I thought, oh, man, I wish I was that genius that thought of that idea. That's brilliant.
Right?
But that's a good idea. Yes. I like it. I'm not going to tell everybody her name is Karen, but I'm just saying.
Okay,
it could be.
That. Yeah.
No. But that was a good idea. I like it.
Yes.
Very, very smart. And so we've got to start infusing her with citric acid. And like I told the gentleman caller earlier, when we're younger, we generate plenty of an enzyme called catalase. You've got to have catalase to generate energy. And so I know I'm going backwards here. Every problem your sister has is because she doesn't have enough energy to make repairs with.
Okay.
Or she doesn't have enough energy to barely get up and walk across the living room floor into the bathroom or the kitchen very much, does she?
Yes.
And so when he asked me about hydrogen peroxide, I said, yes. What a simple experiment. Food-grade hydrogen peroxide, just a little bit, to see if you have greater energy production after just a few short weeks of trying these things. We got nothing to lose. And the celery seed extract that I told you about earlier that I read about, what if your sister says, oh my goodness, I do not have the near as much pain as I used to, and I have more energy. That's what that's going to translate. That's going to translate that she moves more.
Yes.
And that's the way it is with pain. The more that you can bend and flex and stretch and move and activate the muscles, that's how you undo a pinched nerve. And most likely, it's a muscle pinching the nerve. I could be wrong about that. I haven't examined her, but at least the strategy is getting her up and moving because she feels good. You know what? If you feel really, really good, can anybody keep you in a chair all day long?
No.
What are you going to be doing if you feel good?
Oh, everything that I need to do.
Yeah, exactly. And you can do it with a smile on your face, and you can laugh and whistle the whole time.
Right, right. And my goal in my near future is to get my sister healthy so she can move up here so she can come see you.
Where does she live? In Galveston?
Southwest Houston.
Same thing.
Yeah, right. Might as well be.
I tell you what, when you drive in Southwest Houston to Galveston, you're thinking, is there really any gap between all the city? Anyway, you know, that's kind of where I used to live, Southwest Houston.
Oh, okay.
I was right there in Pasadena.
Okay.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's
kind of,
yeah.
All right, maybe it's a stretch. All right, never mind. Yeah, you're right. It is east.
It took me two hours to go from Shepherd to her house last week because of the traffic.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you stopped at garage sales and antique stores and just took your sweet time. That wasn't it, was it?
No, it was that lovely Houston traffic.
The other thing that I would have her do, if she can do this, is I would rub castor oil directly over the area of pain. And let me just kind of sell you on one benefit of topically applying castor oil.
Okay.
Wherever you apply it, you greatly enhance lymphatic circulation and blood flow. That's very advantageous. Anytime that you can deliver more oxygen, more nutrients to an area, that's where healing begins.
Awesome. You are wonderful.
I'm just giving you ideas here. Well, you're very kind.
Yes.
But I would love to see your sister just completely renewed and rejuvenated where she can get up and dance a jig. She can dance, can't she?
Yes, she can. And she can make the most beautiful quilts. She crochets.
You know, I didn't want to say anything. It's kind of cold here in the radio station.
What's your favorite color?
Well, I like blues and purples and reds and orange and greens and yellows.
Okay.
But I'm thinking there's no really good reason for me to freeze every Saturday morning up here.
Exactly.
Anyway,
and if you have to move up here, you know.
Well, we might have to get her stronger first, then she can move up this direction.
Yes.
That would be such a shame to move from such a quiet urban area called Southwest Houston.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let me get off the phone so you can help other people.
All right. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. As you can tell, I sound a little froggy this morning. My tonsils had grown back, and you helped me out with zinc lozenges, although I don't like the way they do my taste buds, but they are wonderful for getting that little cough to finally stop. And I've looked up on the internet different ways of trying to toughen up my throat. I don't have to, well, we shouldn't be yelling, especially being a lady, But at times, my dogs cause me, one of them will jump out of the fence or something, and I have to yell for them to come back or try calling them and stuff. And I've noticed that any time that I have to strenuously use my throat, that it ends up flaring up, and the instant flares up, I have to get on the regimen, and it will flare up every single time to get it to catch it before it gets worse, like it started getting up in the ear or gets down in my chest or something like that.
How often throughout the day do you try to clear your throat?
I usually don't. I found out that peanuts or peanut butter, I was having it, and I noticed that any time I had it in the morning, I would have to keep clearing my throat. Once I figured out that it was the peanuts, and I tell lots of people with allergies or anything like that, stay away from the peanuts. They're in allergy season, and you don't have to have that morning clearing out your throat. So usually I don't have to.
Okay, good. No, that's a good situation. I would say
I tried to get online. Sorry. I tried to get online to look up because you said, you know, get online, look up a lot of things. You know, there's lots of ways of singers or somebody strengthening their throat or doing something for it, because I can't picture me going back in the hospital and getting my tonsils out a second time.
Oh, that'd be brutal.
So, if you have any suggestions of either toughening it up, something, a regimen I can get into to where when I do have to call or something that doesn't do that every time, or just live with the fact that it is going to do that every time and try to do a different regimen for it to clear up faster.
One of the techniques is to practice gargling with salt water, because when you gargle with salt water, you try to activate all those 30 sets of throat muscles that most people don't think of. And that's the responsibility of a nerve called the vagus nerve. And so instead of maybe using the word toughen up the throat, I would say improve the tone of the throat. And the way that you could do that very easily is just start a daily regimen of gargling salt water twice a day for at least 30 seconds. And actually, another way of saying... Sure.
Any kind of salt?
Sure.
Okay.
But one person might say, it's very hard for me to gargle. And I would go, aha, now we're getting somewhere. That means you have very, very poor tone, and we need to focus on that. So I know you've heard this before, but like in exercise, you don't really want to focus on doing the exercises that you're really good at and that come easy and there's like no effort. You want to work on the ones that are hard, like that require more focus and more balance. That's how you start activating the nerve supply to your throat, is through gargling. The other thing that you could gargle is half apple cider vinegar and half water.
I hadn't thought about that. We have oregano that we do that's water, you know, not the oregano oil.
I know. If you want to burn a hole right through your throat, oregano oil would do it. Well,
yeah,
I would say if you could stick to salt water or the half water and half vinegar, that's probably going to be your safest bet.
Okay.
And so the length of time that you can gargle is going to be very, very telling. And so if you can just gargle for just a short period of time and then it becomes difficult, then that kind of proves that we are definitely on the right track. So what would happen is, as you continually set your mind like flint that you're going to master this gargling business to help toughen up your throat, you're going to do it for longer and longer and longer, but you're going to do it till the point of fatigue. Just like if you said, you know what, I cannot do a squat, you know, but you keep after it and you keep practicing, and what happens? Your body adapts, and then all of a sudden you're doing 10 squats.
Well, I'll have to adapt to something else because me and squats don't like each other.
Oh, that's what I should have led
with.
No, I really think a squat would help the throat more than anything, now that I know that information.
No, too late.
It's kind of hard to insert that after the fact, isn't it? The other technique that's been shown to be really, really good for the throat, but I can't get many takers on it, it's just stimulating the gag reflex.
You know, I had heard in men's Bible study that the Romans would get together for these huge feasts, and they would gorge themselves, and then they would get up from their reclining position and go to what's called the vomitorium, and they would relieve themselves of their meal so they could come back and start all over again. I'm going, I wonder how they do that. But the gag reflex is one of them. The other thing that you can do all day long throughout the day that would really strengthen your throat is just practicing humming. Just hum to yourself all day long. There's got to be some beautiful, beautiful songs that you just love. But instead of singing them, you hum them.
Yes. I hadn't thought about that. Usually I just sing them. But yes, that makes sense. I had never thought about that. That's why I called you.
I was trying to think of a song that I could hum on the radio, but I'd probably, all five listeners would probably tune out real quick. I don't want to do that. But if you hum, if you gargle with salt water, if you want to stimulate your gag reflex, it's just merely trying to put your finger toward the back of your throat and see what happens.
Yeah, I think I'll accept all the rest of them and leave the gagging to the guy.
Two out of three. I gave you two.
Okay. Well, you gave me three.
Another thing that a lady talked to me about yesterday that I agree with is the use of sage tea. Sage tea, people have gargled with that stuff for centuries, and they've sipped on it to help improve the throat.
Now, I've started taking sage. I know that's different than gargling.
Well, I still think that's good, though. That's really, really good. I'm proud of you.
You mentioned it, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I ended up getting some. And
What do you do? Do you just try anything that I'll say?
Just about.
Except the gag reflex.
I keep a running dialogue.
Do you really?
To your post. Oh, yes, I go to your post, and every time I listen to one and hear something new, I have it in my notes. I have one section is for... say the apple cider vinegar and what all the stuff it'll help with. And then the other post, not post for everybody to see, but just me. And then the other one is I'll go by the date to where on that one you had this, you was doing, like today you're doing celery, high blood pressure and stuff like that. That way I could just go to it whenever I'm talking to somebody and say, hey, Dr. Morgan said this. And this is what he said about it. Go listen to it.
Man, you're trying to be ready in season and out of season, aren't you?
So that means now you have seven people because my mother's listening right now, too.
I have your mother as a listener?
Oh, yeah.
I bet she heard that.
We're big fans.
Oh,
good.
Yes,
she did.
Well, I'm so thankful.
Actually, a doctor, a long time ago, told her, he said, you study and get into as much of natural healing stuff because she was always sickly when she was a kid and still all the way through. But the Lord has blessed her with natural herbs. Anything that the Lord provided and did and fixed up has done better for her than anything else.
Really? I love that story.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Would I be rude if I asked how old your mother is today?
She is 81.
81, all right.
And before she started another thing of the eating better and stuff, she was on 11 different prescriptions. She was on heart patches all the time. She couldn't do just about anything. She has Lyme's, lupus, and a bunch of other stuff. But once she got into the other end, through the Lord's help of showing her how to do it, she doesn't have any of it. She hasn't been on a heart patch. She hasn't been on prescriptions. And her doctor had a fit, and he says, well, let me watch you and see how you do. And he kept watching her and watching her and watching her. And finally he said, whatever you're doing, you keep doing it.
So he went from a fit to being impressed. Well, that's good.
Yes, very.
Well, you got to give him credit, though. At least he kept an open mind to see what would happen. So I greatly appreciate that.
He's a godly man.
But he's a great man.
He is. He very much is. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call today. You're so sweet.
Thanks for your help.
You're welcome. You have a great
day. Everybody I know says that. God bless you.
Give my best to your mama.
I will.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. There's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. That was so sweet of you. If nobody calls, I'm going to go on to my next. Oh, here we have a caller right here. All right. You made it in. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Martin. Let me turn my radio down.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have very close veins, and they are so sore that when I touch them, or they wake me up at night, and I feel like they're on fire.
Oh, no.
And the doctor gave me a cream to put on them called D-I-C-L-O-F-E-N-A-C, sodium tropic gel.
And?
And I use it 3 times a day, but...
Is that just to keep the pain knocked down?
Yes.
But the moment you don't use it, does the pain come back?
Oh, yes.
Okay. What would you like to see happen?
Pain go away. And I was listening to several people were talking about the pain that's in the back of their knee, and I'm having that in the mornings. I'm on crutches. I've got to have knee surgery, but I've got to wait a while. I'm on crutches in the morning because I can't stand to push that feet on the floor.
Oh, my goodness. Well, where if you were to narrow down, which part of your leg has the worst pain? Is it above the knee or below the knee?
It's above the knee and my thighs.
Okay. Can I give you 3 or 4 ideas?
Please.
Okay. I'm not saying I know which order to do these in or which one's going to work, but just prayerfully and thoughtfully consider them, let them roll around your heart, and tell me if you can do them or not. One thing that I would consider as far as doing something today that might be a game changer for you is getting what's called some compression shorts or compression sleeves for your thighs.
Okay, I got those. Well, and they're called absolute compression.
Does that make any difference or make it worse?
It makes it worse when I'm pulling them up and down.
Okay.
Because they're so tight.
Well, then chances are they're too tight. And usually the way that you measure those is you just pick the largest part of the thigh with a tape measure, and let's just say it's 21 inches. I'm just making up a number here. If it's 21, but I've seen many people get prescribed the compression sleeves that are way too small, so they just pinch the fire out of the person, and that's not a benefit either. So I would just say maybe retool and look up on Amazon or some other website compression sleeves for the thigh. But if you get them measured to the right size, usually they can be a game changer for a person. All right, number next.
Mm-hmm.
If I were in your shoes, there's 2 or 3 things that I would consider, and I'm going to tell you some of them are just not going to be any fun whatsoever. But it would have to be, I'm doing this for one reason, because I think that I'll be in a much better place 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Okay.
So what I would recommend dietarily is if I could convince you just to eat 2 meals a day, and one of those meals to be like a really big honking salad. That's just a figure of speech. I don't think that word even really exists. Honking.
Okay.
You know what I mean, though, don't you?
Right.
And so if you just ate lunch and supper or just breakfast and a late lunch, what will happen is your body will focus its energy instead of eating, processing a meal. It'll try to remove all that inflammation in your legs.
Okay.
One other thing that can be done that I think is just very easy to do is drinking herbal tea. Now, if it were me, I would probably drink what's called rose hips tea. Rose hips is when the flower reaches its maturity and the petals of the rose fall off, and that little bitty kind of a reddish orange ball that forms underneath that, that's the new seed pod. But those are called rose hips, and they just kind of crush them up and put some hot water on them, and it makes kind of a pink colored, you know, cup of tea. It's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I think they taste good. That's just my opinion. But if you would start the process of squeezing lime or lemon juice, or They had some organic lemons at the store this week. They were so big that if David were to put one of those in his sling and run full speed toward Goliath, not only would Goliath die, but half the Philistines behind him would be wiped out. The lemons were so big. They're huge, like boulders. So, but lemon juice is going to act as a solvent, and so
One of the things that I'm going to tell you that I'm convinced is going on with these varicose veins and the pain is you have what's called crystal formation. I don't expect anybody to agree with me. This is just my opinion, but I think I'm right about this. These crystals are like shards of glass in the lining of your veins. And mm-hmm. so the pain is just intense. They're called oxalate crystals. And so if I could convince you to eat salads and vegetables, a little bit of meat, a little bit of fruit, and avoid things like, you got to avoid spinach, and you have to avoid nuts and potatoes.
Oh, my goodness, and that's what I've been eating quite a bit of.
Believe me, I am not casting stones towards you. It's just, but you've got horrible pain, so I would have you go on what's called a low oxalate diet. Oxalate is spelled O-X-A-L-A-T-E, oxalate. And if you do that and you start drinking fresh lemon juice and lime juice, what we're going to do is we're going to start dissolving all that debris that's in your veins. The other thing that I want you to do, and it's a mess because it's sticky, but if you start rubbing fresh lemon juice and lime juice all over your legs where you have pain, along mm-hmm. with maybe some castor oil, yes, you're going to have to walk around the house without, maybe a silk shirt or pants touching the sticky lemon juice. You just got to give a chance to air dry where it can kind of soak in. But there's another principle at play here. I am convinced that the skin is so thirsty for nutrients that it could even drink them up if you apply them topically. So if you rub lime juice all over the skin where you have pain or lemon juice, if you'll mm-hmm. give your body a chance, it will drink it up. And it'll start to dissolve all that inflammatory waste in your legs.
Oh, that sounds wonderful because it wakes me up. It feels like I've got fire on, somebody's pouring hot water on my legs.
Well, that brings me to my next point. And I'm not going to say this is going to be super popular, but I've seen it work over and over and over again. It's just brutal. At least I give full disclosure on everything, don't I?
Yes, you do.
If you took a 5-gallon bucket of water and you put ice in it, you would put your lower legs, feet and ankles up to your knees in the bucket of ice water and just gently pump them up and down like you're on a Singer treadle sewing machine, just working that treadle. Just keep them moving just very slowly. But if you'll do that for 10 minutes a day, yes, your body will tell your brain, hey, the legs are about to freeze to death. We've almost got frostbite. What do? And your body's going to start rerouting more and more blood flow to your legs. That's the only way that I get you through this. We've got to increase blood flow. So if by the end of this week you have a little bit less pain, you're probably going to tell me this time next week that you don't have the horrible burning that you do now. It'll be lessened significantly, enough to notice.
Okay. Even though the pain is in my thigh.
Even though the pain's in your thigh. But guess what? To get from your thigh to your toes, it's got to go through the thigh, doesn't it?
Okay.
And so, if I had my wish, there'd be a creek out back, and I'd have you just wade down to the creek waist deep. Do you have a creek in your backyard?
No.
How far do you live from Lake Palestine? I could arrange to have you lowered over the bridge.
Quite far.
Oh, too far to travel. So that's going to be one of the things that you can do right there. The other thing that I would do if it were me is I would just gut it out and I would maybe go onto YouTube and start watching videos on how to stretch the legs even though they hurt. You've got to stretch that stuff to break up all that gunk and get it cleaned out.
Okay.
So if you'll do those things, let me know how it works out. But unfortunately, I think we're just about out of time for today.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yes, and I have so enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for your phone call. Thanks for listening.
Sure. Have a great one.
Oh, you too. May God bless you with everything you're working on. Bye-bye.
God bless you too. Bye.
You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.